Let's open our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. If you're using the Bible in the chair rack in front of you, it's on page 771. We are going to continue our series on the relationship principles of Jesus. And let me begin by asking you to finish this sentence. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee, I am the greatest, I am... No, Alan Chaney. Haven't you heard that? Well, at least that's the way I remember it. I know a lot of you are shaking your heads, but I begin by sharing that because I truly believe that each and every one of us as children began wanting to be the greatest. Would you agree? The greatest at something. And so let me ask you this morning as we get started, what were the things or thing that you wanted to be the greatest at when you were maybe like 5, 6, 7 years old? What was it?
Jump rope.
Oh, Joanne wanted to be the greatest jump roper the world had ever known. All right. Yeah. What else?
Jax.
I'm sorry?
Jax.
You wanted to be the best Jack player in all the world. Bless your heart, Joy. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Somebody has to be, right? Absolutely. What else? What, Mom?
Hopscotch.
Well, you guys set your sights high, didn't you? Okay. What else? I can remember mine. I wanted to be the greatest tree climber the world had ever known. I'm not kidding. We had this great, big, huge willow tree in our backyard. And it had huge branches that went way up into the sky. And I would climb that tree and I would climb that tree. And from that tree, I could look around the neighborhood. And I could see all the other trees in the neighborhood. And I wanted to conquer every single one of them. I wanted to be the greatest. And I believe that God placed that desire of greatness in each and every one of us. The problem is that the road to greatness can be very lonely because it's often a very selfish road. Now this morning we are going to learn another relationship principle of Jesus. And it has to do with this desire we all have for greatness. And we are going to look at a story in which Jesus' disciples wanted to be great. And in the process, Jesus is going to teach his disciples and he's going to teach you and I how to truly be great. Let's look at that passage together. Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 32. And I also want you to notice, I'm going to point out, that a lot of times in our attempts to be great, it often tears down relationships. It doesn't break them up. So that is why we desperately need to know Jesus' way of being great. It starts in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were two of Jesus' 12 disciples, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? And listen, here's what they said. Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Now, what's really going on here? Well, two of Jesus' disciples are wanting to be great. They're just looking to be great. They're asking Jesus to do them a favor, that they would be great. And there doesn't seem to be any doubt in their mind that they could accomplish this. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Now listen to this. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were thrilled. They were so happy for James. No. The scripture says they were indignant. They were indignant. Why were they indignant? Well, probably because James and John beat them to the punch, right? Because they too probably wanted that same opportunity. They too wanted to be great. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over the people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Would you write on the top of your message notes that the seventh relationship principle that Jesus teaches us is that the greatest are the servants. The greatest are the servants. And in fact, he taught this lesson many, many times throughout his ministry. In Matthew 23, 11 through 12, he said, "The greatest among you must be a servant." And then he told us how we can do it. He said, "But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And I believe that is a great test for us to use each and every day of our life to determine whether the greatness that we seek is the greatness in which God wants for us to achieve. In fact, every day we face the simple test of greatness. Am I going to exalt myself or am I going to humble myself? You see, when you exalt yourself, you expect other people to serve you. But when you humble yourself, you are willing to serve others. And that is what Jesus is teaching, because it's absolutely counter to what the world teaches. In fact, he points it out in that passage. He says, "You know that the rulers and authorities of this world, they lord it over their people." But he says, "Not with you. You're going to do it a completely different way. Completely opposite from the way the world does it." You see, our decision as to which way to live will affect every relationship that we have. And so this morning, here's what I'd like for us to do. We are going to look at what Jesus taught as to how you and I can be great at being humble. Now, that sounds interesting, doesn't it? We're going to be the greatest at being humble. But guess what? That's exactly what Jesus is going to teach us. In fact, there's four different ways that Jesus teaches us how to, in humility, behave in such a way that we will become a servant of those that God has entrusted to our care, given us an influence in our life, and that we will truly achieve greatness. And the first thing that Jesus teaches is how humility handles ambition. You see, because again, to be great, you have to be ambitious. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being ambitious. It just depends on what the motivation and what the drive behind the ambition and the greatness really is all about. And so Jesus taught in Matthew 18:4, he said, "So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, folks, that should give us great hope that we too can be great in the kingdom of heaven, because Jesus begins by saying, "So anyone." Last time I checked, you guys all qualified as anyone's. But there is a condition. He says, anyone who becomes as humble as this little child. And Jesus uses this child as an object lesson to teach us how it is that we can use humility to drive our ambition. So when you humble yourself like a child, what does that mean? Well, I think it can be summed up in one simple word, and that is dependent. A child is dependent on their parents. They don't try to do everything for themselves. They know that they can't, and so they are dependent on their parents. In fact, for most of your children and your grandchildren, do you know how they look at you? They just simply look at you as a friendly ATM machine. Right? Depending that you are going to care for their needs. That's what children do. And I believe that is why Jesus used them as an example. That you and I too would be dependent on our Heavenly Father. But also notice that he says that you need to change. He says, become. Anyone who becomes as humble as this little child. So humility also requires some change in our life. Some change away from the world's way of doing things, as Jesus is pointing out here, and doing them God's way. You see, the disciples were arguing about which of them would be greatest. Jesus taught them a very important lesson. He said, let humility manage your ambition. Because again, is it wrong to be ambitious? Absolutely not. It just depends on what is driving your ambition. And so, I would recommend that you use what Jesus shared there as a daily greatness quiz. For those that exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And in this case, in dealing with our ambition, if you're going to exalt yourself, you see, ambition driven by pride makes you demanding. And we've probably all known people like that. who exalted themselves by being demanding of those in their lives, expecting others to serve them as opposed to them serving others. On the other hand, it's a choice, and you can choose to humble yourself, and that is ambition driven by humility makes you depending. That is why Jesus used the object lesson of a child. That when you choose to humble yourself in the area of ambition in your life, then it makes you depending. And as Christians, I think we should be very ambitious. You see, because we've been given the greatest mission the world has ever known. To proclaim the good news that God loves us and wants to have a personal relationship with us, both now and for all eternity. And that relationship starts now through Jesus Christ. That ambition should be driven by depending on God to help us accomplish His mission for His purposes and His glory, not our selfish goals. So true greatness is depending on God. That's how we handle our ambition. But then, how do we handle what I imagine was also going on in the lives of those disciples when they asked Jesus to do them a favor that they might sit on His right and His left when He was sitting on His throne? I think the reason they wanted to sit in those places is because they wanted to be noticed. And Jesus is going to teach us how humility handles our need for notice. Now, the nice thing is that most of us don't deal with this issue of need for notice, do we? Wrong. We all have a need to be noticed. We all want to know and believe that there are other people who notice us, that care about us, that love us. And yet there is a way in which we go about trying to get noticed that is not in humility, but it's in exalting ourselves. And Jesus gave us a great description of this in Matthew 23 by using a group of people that were always wanting to exalt themselves so that they could be noticed. And they were the Pharisees. And in Matthew 23, Jesus said, "Don't be like the Pharisees. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others." Now, let's break that down and see exactly what's going on here, because some of you probably right now are thinking, what on earth is a phylactery? Is that some dinosaur from a prehistoric age? Well, actually what a phylactery is and was just a simple little box. And it was a box in which the Jewish people, including still today, keep their memory verses that they're working on, scriptures that they are memorizing. They would write them down on a little piece of paper, and they put them in these boxes. And the more scriptures that they were trying to memorize at any given point would require a bigger and a bigger box. But the most interesting thing about this whole process was where they kept their box. Do you know where they kept their phylactery box filled with their scripture verses? In their back pocket? On their dresser at home? No. They actually tied them either to their shoulder or to their forehead. Can you believe that? I actually Googled it. I should have brought a picture this morning. I actually Googled it and found pictures of modern day Orthodox Jews walking around with their phylactery boxes on their forehead. Now, why would you put it there? So that you would be noticed, right? So that people would look at you and go, "Oh my, look at that. Look at all the scripture memory verses that person is working on. How about that?" And Jesus points out that is not the way to live your life. But He was pointing out that we as humans have this love of symbols. Symbols of what we're doing so that people will notice us. And I know for most of us, we do not tie a box around our head or around our shoulder. But we still have other symbols, right, that we have on our cars, on our clothes, maybe our homes. You see, we have lots and lots of symbols to try and help other people notice us. And Jesus is saying, that's not the way it's going to be with you. He also talked about that they love places of honor at banquets, which points out our love of recognition. And He also said they love to have men call them rabbi, which points out our love of titles. And I think we just need to recognize that this is just common to us. This is part of our human nature. And so we need this greatness quiz that Jesus offered. And so in this area, if you're going to exalt yourself, you need others' notice. You're looking for ways for others to affirm you and notice you. But if you humble yourself, you are looking for ways to notice others' needs. You see, life is like a game of volleyball. As long as you're serving, you'll never lose. And so here's the skill step. We all like to be noticed for what we do. How do you translate your need for notice into a more consistent notice of others' needs? Well, here's a couple of secrets. First of all, leave it to God to meet your needs both now and later. For He is the one that can care for you greater than anybody else, including yourself. And so leave it to God to meet your needs for notice. And then also, constantly be on the lookout for opportunities to encourage others. That is a choice to humble yourself. When you look around and find others in your world, which I guarantee you are there all of the time, that desperately need some encouragement. They desperately need somebody to notice them. And that is being a servant. And Jesus is teaching us how humility helps handle our need for notice. How humility helps handle our ambition. But then He goes on to say how humility handles our tendency to compare. Because that's another way that we break down and ruin our relationships is we compare. We compare everything. And we compare relationships. Sadly, some people compare spouses and kids and family members and say, look, if only I had that family over there. Or if only I had that spouse. Comparing is a tool of the devil to get us to believe that the grass is greener on the other side, right? But you've heard me say before, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. And the grass is not greener on this side of the fence. The grass is greener wherever you water it. Wherever you choose to be humble and be a servant in your relationship, those are the relationships that are going to grow. And Jesus taught us in Luke 14, 8 through 11. He said, when you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you will be embarrassed and you will have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There's that test again. So folks, don't fall for the comparison trap. Don't compare yourself, your spouse, your family, your kids, because comparing ruins relationships every day. So take the daily greatness quiz. Exalt yourself. Well, if you're going to exalt yourself in the area of comparison, it's because you want to get the upper hand. You want the place of honor. The problem is we equate being first with being greatest. And that is clearly not the way God looks at your life. I think God could care less if you come in first or last. What He really cares about is how many people are you taking with you? How many people are you picking up and helping along the road of life? That's true greatness. And so in this example, Jesus is teaching us to humble ourselves. What does that mean? It means take the lowest place. Now again, please, please remember, humility is not seeing ourselves as less important. It is just simply seeing others as more important. And so the skill step here truly is take the lowest seat. Now what does that mean in everyday life? Take the lowest seat. And how do you do this? Well, you see, the seats at the banquets were not places of responsibility, but of honor. And so the advice behind this parable is, first of all, don't waste time worrying about honor. Don't waste time doing that. There's no point. God says that if you will humble yourself, I will honor you. I will exalt you. So you don't need to worry about that. And then the second piece of advice is just live your life for an audience of one. Because when you live your life for an audience of one, if Jesus is the only one that you care about, His opinion of you, then you're going to be honored. You're going to be exalted as you humble yourself and serve others. The famous pastor Charles Finney said this one time. He said, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above another, and the taller we grow, the easier to reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on shelves one beneath another, and the lower we stoop, the more we receive. I like that. When we choose to take the lowest seat. That is a mark of humility. And that is how humility handles our tendency to compare. And then Jesus teaches us one more very important point about how humility handles our relationship with God. How humility handles our relationship with God. And he does this in a story in which two people pray two very different prayers, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Listen to this from Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I am certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector, well, he stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, I think an important point to emphasize from this passage is how easy it is when we've been a Christian for a long time to work our way into an attitude of superiority. These Pharisees didn't wake up one day and say, in my pursuit of God, I'm going to get it all wrong. No, it happened little by little. It's a warning to all of us that have believed in God for quite a while. It is so easy to turn a relationship with Jesus into a religion of superiority. And so again, we ought to use the daily greatness quiz. Exalt yourself? Well, that means you do it yourself. Because that's what the Pharisees were doing. They had developed a do-it-yourself religion. Everything was based on what they did. In fact, in that passage, there are three signs of do-it-yourself religion. The first is confidence in yourself. Jesus said, those that are confident in their own righteousness. He went quickly on to say that another sign of do-it-yourself religion is when you condemn others. He said they scorn everyone else. And then the third sign of do-it-yourself religion is that you're content with externals. Externals such as the Pharisee said, I fast and I tithe. That's do-it-yourself. That's exalting yourself. How do you humble yourself in your relationship with God? It's simple. You trust Him. Humility in our relationship with God means that we are like a child and we are dependent on Him. We trust Him. And in order to trust God, you must recognize two very important things. First of all, who you really are. And do you know who you really are? I hate to break it to you, but you're all tax collectors. And so am I. What does that mean? It means we're all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, not one person on this earth is perfect and always does right. Not one. You see, you married a sinner and your spouse married a bigger one. No relationship. No relationship on this earth is perfect because we are all sinners. Our kids aren't perfect. Can I hear an amen? And our church family isn't perfect because we're human beings. We're all failure-prone, sinful people. But we also need to trust God by knowing who He really is. And that is a lifelong pursuit. And listen to who He is in 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up. Let me ask you, anybody here need God's grace? Yeah, we all do. Each and every one of us. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God. You see, humility is the mark of greatness. That is what Jesus is teaching us over and over again. In our ambition, be humble. In your need to be noticed, be humble. In your need, in your relationship with God, be humble. And that tendency to compare yourselves to others. Don't worry about honor. Be humble and live your life for an audience of one. Humility is the mark of greatness. And then listen to this last passage in Luke chapter 9. Now came an argument among them as to which of them would be the greatest in the coming kingdom. But Jesus knew their thoughts. So he stood a little child beside him and said to them, "Anyone who takes care of a little child like this is caring for me. And whoever cares for me is caring for God who sent me." And then listen to this very closely. "Your care for others is the measure of your greatness." If you truly want to be great in this life, Jesus has given us the prescription that we simply care for others, that we become servants, that we not just look out for our own interests, but we look out for the interests of others, that is the true test of greatness. Am I going to exalt myself or am I going to humble myself? And so this morning, I would highly encourage you to not buy into that misconception and myth that Christians cannot achieve greatness, that Christians cannot attain things that are great in this world. I think God wants Christians to be great. But he wants each and every one of us to do it in the manner in which he taught, and it all begins with humility. Amen? So let's make that choice this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us the way. For if we did not have his life, if we did not have his example, if he did not come as the relationship expert, then we would get it all wrong. Because the way of this world is to exalt yourself, to do whatever it takes to be noticed, to live a life of selfishness and pride. But you taught us what true greatness is. And that is to completely turn the tables on the world's ways and to choose to live a life of humility. To choose a life of greatness as we care for others, as we are the servant of all, that you will be the one that will exalt us in due time. You are the one that will honor us. And what a day that would be. That we would all stand before you and you would say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Lord, there's no more valuable recognition and notice than that. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, not just today, but that we would make a commitment today, that each and every day, to make that choice, to take that daily quiz. Am I going to exalt myself or am I going to serve? Am I going to live a life of humility or am I going to expect others to serve me? Lord, I pray that your Spirit would stir us each and every day to answer this question. That we would know. That we would know the way to be great. That we would experience it in our lives, and many, many people would be blessed, and many relationships would even be healed and restored because of our choice of humility. Lord, I thank you so much that you've given us the way. Now help us to follow the way of humility. Open our eyes to the way in which you want to make us great. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.